So, Father, now we come to you, the teaching and the preaching of your word. May it go forth to accomplish all that you desire, and that is to equip, to give us instruction, to give us joy, and to illuminate that we're on the right path with you, Almighty God. To your name be all praise and glory and honor, in Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. So today's message is entitled, Yeshua Gives Zahar. That's spelled Z-A-H-A-R, on the fig tree. Zahar is a Hebrew word, and it means to shine or to give enlightenment on something. So let us now turn to the gospel, the good news of Matthew Matiyahu, chapter 21, beginning at verse 18. 21:18. I'm having you turn to that passage, but while you're getting there, I'll share verse 17. Because you know what? Sometimes the people who have divided up the Bible, sometimes I have a different opinion where they've divided it, right? You ever found that? So verse 17 says, with that. And what was with that means? After he confounded the head Kohanim, the high priest, and the Torah teachers, he left them. And he went to the village of Bethany. So verse 17 says, with that, he, Yeshua, left them and went outside the city of Bethany. And there he spent the night. The next day, verse 18, the next morning, on Yeshua's way back to the city, Yeshua felt hungry. And spotting a fig tree by the road, Yeshua went up to it, but he found nothing on it except for leaves. Have you ever done that? Anticipation for the fruit to come. Well, the first 9 years of my life, I was born and raised in Sacramento, California. We had pomegranate trees. We had walnut trees. We had peach trees. We had various types of trees, fruit trees, in our front and our backyard. And you know what? I learned a little bit about the seasons. And it was great to see when these different trees that would flower first, and then what would come later was the budding of the fruits, and the leaves would also start to come, all right? And so that's what Yeshua is doing here. Remember, he's the one that created everything. And so now he's looking to see if he can get a snack here, right? You know, he's faced every temptation and everything we do as human beings. He was hungry. And notice this, he doesn't pick up a stone and then turn it into bread. Right? He's walking in the Father's provision for his life. So continuing here. So Yeshua said to it, may you never again bear fruit. And immediately the fig tree dried up. The Talmudim, who are the disciples, saw this and they were amazed. How did the fig tree dry up so quickly? They asked. Yeshua answered them, yes, I tell you, if you have trust and don't doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, it will be done. And think about that. You're not supposed to try and lift the mountain. Not all of a sudden you got the strength of 10 billion Samsons, all right? Because you remember the time when he went to that one city and he lifted up its great wooden doors off its hinges and carried it up the hill and set it down? You know, that weighed a few ounces or pounds, as Martin just shared, all right? And so he doesn't ask us to do that by our physical strength. Samson moved by supernatural strength, right, from time to time, but at times in his own strength. What happens all the time when we try to do things in our own strength and power? We fail. It backfires, right? It blows up in our faces, right? So Yeshua is saying here that the mountain itself will cast itself into the sea, okay? And it will be done. In other words, You will receive everything you ask for in prayer, no matter what it is, provided you have trust. Trust in what? Your ability as being a believer, walking with Yeshua all these years, and feeling God's power being poured out in and through you? Absolutely not. But hearing the will of the Father and operating in those. So that all those mountains that are in our lives that appear as mountains become like foothills, do they not? Once we see from the Father's perspective and His provision, okay? Now, you know what's beautiful about the good news? Is that Yeshua gave it to His Talmudim, but not only that, He allowed others to be able to publish the good news. Now let us turn to Mark chapter 11. Now, Mark wasn't one of the original 12 apostles, all right? He wasn't one of the original, but he was there at the time of these events going on, all right? And who was the one who gave him a lot of instruction and filled in the gaps? But Kepha Peter, all right? So, you know, as we read through here in Matthew chapter 18, as you're turning there, 17 through 22, we see that Matthew condensed the situation with the fig tree, right? Well, the Spirit of the living God led him to do that. Why? Because he was speaking to the Jewish people, okay? Mark was speaking to another group, all right, of future believers in Messiah. And so what he does is he gives it even more context. And you'll notice here, even before we read this scripture, it's laid out a little different. It's not so concise, all right? Because Mark gives the details. Because you know when a family has a family meeting, right, and they show up, you basically know what the subject's going to be talking about, right, and the issues that we're going to be dealing with, right? But someone who's not part of the immediate family, they have to be what? Instructed on what things mean, what has been said, what's been done, right? And so Mark's going to give us a little bit of details. So let us turn there. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. The next day, as they came back from Bethany, Yeshua felt hungry, spotting in the distance a fig tree in leaf, okay? So with that sign of the leaf out there, he said, oh, there's a possibility. This tree, because there were certain fig trees that would produce fruit earlier than the year. And the more mature the tree was, the more likelihood of it producing its fruit earlier than the rest of the trees as it matured, okay? So let us continue here. Verse 13, and spotting in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he, Yeshua, went to see if he could find anything on it. When Yeshua came up to it, Yeshua found nothing but leaves, for it wasn't fig season. Wait a second. Did he not create everything? Did he not know that? Just as I shared earlier, there are different trees that are more mature than others. You know, the best time to harvest figs in Israel is in the month of June. But this time setting, where are we right now? Is Yeshua about to celebrate Sukkot? No, he's celebrating Pesach, which is Passover. So we're in the spring of the year, okay? And like I said earlier, there are mature fig trees that would produce fruit very early in the spring, around the time of Pesach, okay? And Yeshua, knowing this, would have this insight, right? Because he created all these things. And you notice the Talmudim are not saying to him, his disciples, saying, oh, Yeshua, it's just some leaves. You won't find any fruit there. Because you know what? They probably went up to these old fig trees in the past themselves during the same time of the year and was able to pluck and enjoy figs, okay? And so it wasn't the full fig season. And you know what? People who live outside the land of Israel, you know, they would read the good news of Matthew, and this would not all make sense to them because they didn't know about the different seasons. Because these fig trees would produce figs in the early spring, the mature ones, into June, and then later into the fall. There would be three harvests from these mature fig trees. Okay? So let us continue here. For it wasn't fig season, okay? That means he's speaking of the time of June, where the majority of fig trees, those that are both mature and those that are close to being maturity, being teenager fig trees, would be producing fruit, okay? And so he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his Talmudim, they heard this, what Yeshua had said. But you know what happens here? Let us go now to the second portion here. As we go from verse 14, and I'm turning there, and I did this by design, because you know what? A lot of times as people are preparing messages, they'll jump from one Bible verse to another, but they won't share what's in between, okay? So we're here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, and here we are on verse 15. And on reaching Jerusalem, he entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were carrying on business there, both the merchants and the customers. He knocked also over the desks of the money changers and upset the benches and the pigeon dealers, and he refused to let anyone carry merchandise through the temple courts. Then he taught them, and he said, it is written in the Tanakh, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the Goyim, or the nations, but you make it into a den of robbers. Then the head Kohanim and the Torah teachers heard what he had said and tried to find a way to do away with him. And they were afraid of him because the crowds were utterly taken by his teaching. And when evening came, they left the city. So what has happened here? It seems like Matthew and Mark are in a debate right now. Does it not? Because in Matthew it said immediately it happened. Okay? He made the story condensed, right? Where Mark shows that from a true time setting, this was actually 2 days that had taken place. And as we get further into this message from Mark, we understand that there's an exclamation here. Because what does the fig tree represent in Scripture? The nation of Israel. Okay? And to give you a little background here, so Yeshua sees this fig tree, okay, which is a representation of the nation of Israel from a spiritual standpoint. He goes up there and he sees leaves, right? Just as Barbara shared about that cake today, and I didn't even know she was going to share that during our prayer time. It's covered with beautiful frosting, right? Like leaves on a fig tree. But once you get near to it, you examine that cake there, it's cardboard, right? They're sweet, it's beautiful, it even smells good, right? But it doesn't give you any nourishment. What was the nation of Israel at this point in time? They were a leafy fig tree that was not producing fruits of righteousness, right? And that started from the top down, not from Abba, Father God, Yeshua, and the Ruach, okay, but from the head Kohanim, the priests and the Levites, who were supposed to be doing what? Walking and producing fruits of righteousness. And not only were they to be the watchmen over the nations and the spiritual hearts of the Jewish people, but the nations that were round about them, those God-fearers, they were to be drawing them in, were they not? And proclaiming the good news to them so that they can have access to God the Father, Abba Father God, just as the Jewish people did. Through what? Through the faith of the seed of Abraham. Okay? But what was the courts filled with? Animals that were being used for the purchase of sacrifice. What should have been there? Levites upon Levites, Torah teachers upon Torah teachers. They're instructing the God-fearers from all these nations, because you know what happened from time to time? People would pray for their family members to recover from sickness in their land, and they'd be praying to what? Their foreign gods. They'd be offering sacrifices to them. You know what? And these children were dying. They're learning that their gods were what? Made by human hands, made out of stone and wood, right? And so they heard about the God of Israel, and so they would come. And especially at these feasts of the Lord, they would come. Just like right now, there are many Messianic Christians who are now in Israel, and they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Some have done it many, many times before, but for others, for the very first time. Because Israel was to be what? A light to the nations. Okay? So that is what is transpiring here. And that's why Mark here puts them in the proper time frame. Okay? Because I said earlier, Matthew did not have to. Why? Because he was speaking to his Jewish brothers and sisters. And so when Matthew shared, well, when Yeshua walked up there, he saw the fig trees there with all the leaves, and then Yeshua rebuked it, and it dried up. What was it speaking into their hearts? They were remembering about the prophecies through the scriptures in the Tanakh that the prophets brought forth, one time bringing two baskets of figs, one representing the northern kingdom, one representing the southern kingdom, okay, and that they being judged at certain times. So this was like a word picture in the hearts and the minds of the Jewish people. But here, Mark, he's taking the time to lay all these things out. So now let us continue here. That when Yeshua then left the city, that in the morning in verse 20, as the Talmudim passed by, this is now another day, another morning, they saw the fig tree had withered all the way to its roots, or roots. Okay? You can tell what part of the country I'm from by how you say roots. Roots or roots, right? Okay? And so for them to see that the roots had dried up, what had to happen? This tree had to fall out of the ground that it was planted in, right? Because it does not say that the Spirit of Living God came upon them and gave them discernment so that they could see that the roots and the taproot had been completely dried. No nourishment. And that was a type and a symbol to them and showing to the Talmudim this. You see what we're going through right now? We're bringing all these sacrifices here. And the high priests and the Torah teachers are backslidden. And we're just doing everything by rote. It's a routine. We're standing before the Lord as fig trees with no fruits. As the wind blows, what do we see? We see the fig leaves bringing praise up to God, right? It's just surface. There's no real life and there's no nourishment. The tree can barely stay alive. Why? Because it's no longer rooted in Messiah. Judaism, apart from Messiah, dies and has no life. All of us who came out of Judaism, no matter what branch, know this for certain, because we left Judaism to find Abba, Father, God, and life. Look with me, if you will, quickly at this banner next to me, all right? Those of you who are listening on the podcast, I'll just have to tell you what's up here. Above a banner, the colors do not matter, is the name Seed of Abraham. This congregation was based on the faith of our father Abraham, right? And so with that, we see two trees here. And I believe these two trees here are olive trees, right? One tree is an olive tree that represents Israel, and the other one, the nations, okay? The one new man, two trees that are put together, right? So it says on the top, Seed of Abraham, we've all come through faith, through our father Abraham. We're joined together. Those from the wild olive tree are grafted into the true olive tree of Israel, okay? We're rooted in the soil. We've been planted, right? Now, if you look at the roots here, okay, you'll notice here it's spelled M-E-S-S-I-A-N-I-C. What does that say? Messianic. Where do we get the word messianic from? From Messiah. So as we, as being the children of the seed of Abraham, both Jews and Gentiles, two olive trees planted in God's good soil, are rooted in what? Messiah, then we can be what? His congregation. All right? So, continuing here quickly with the message. As I said, I will be brief. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So going on, in the morning, as the Talmudim passed by the way, they saw the fig tree withered all the way to its roots. Kepha, Peter, remembered and said to Yeshua, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you curse has dried up. He, Yeshua, responded, have the right kind of trust that comes from Abba, Father God. Did you hear that? It's not trust in yourself. It's not trust in your religious system or the leaders of that religious system. But it's having your trust in Abba, Father God, and Him alone. Verse 23, yes, I tell you, whoever does not doubt in his heart, but trust that what Yeshua says will happen, can say to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, who is he speaking to here? His inner 12. Those that know him, that have been here for 3 years, and he's demonstrated the power of God, prayer, fasting, all these things. He's saying, put your trust in the words that I tell you, and in whom has sent me. Trust that you are receiving it, and it will be yours, okay? So here's a little bit of commentary from David Stern of the Complete Jewish Bible. If Yeshua's cursing and drying up of the fig tree had been out of emotion reaction to a disappointment because he couldn't satisfy his hunger, it would be unworthy of anyone, let alone the Messiah. But Yeshua is making a point here means a prophetic drama acted out in a parable, okay? So consider this, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, 6 through 9. Then Yeshua gave this illustration. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit, but he didn't find any. And think about that, what I just shared with you. This was in the early part of the early years when Yeshua was with his Talmudim. Okay? So he shared this parable where? On Shabbat in a synagogue. So this was being replayed in the Talmudim's hearts and minds at this point. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, here, I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree for 3 years now without finding any. Cut it down. Why let it go on using up the soil? But he answered, sir, leave it alone one more year and I'll dig around it and I will put manure on it. I'll expose the roots, right? Because what did the nation of Israel need to have at that time? Have its roots exposed. And what did Yeshua do? He went and he cleansed the courtyards, right, around the temple. He was adding manure there. And what was the fruit of Yeshua's ministry? Was that all those people that were selling those things and those animals, they left the courtyards. And what happened after that? The blind and the lame came in and he healed them. There was fruit on within the temple courts. So we're now going now quickly. Verse 9, if it bears fruit the next year, well and good. If not, we will have to cut it down then. Yeshua was teaching in one of their synagogues on Shabbat, okay? Now, Yeshua has used prophets in the past. You know what? They've done very, very unique things, all right? In the Tanakh, there are examples that include Jeremiah, who bought and broke a clay jar, okay? He bought that clay jar and he told the nation of Israel that the enemy is round about you and they're going to break in. And all your outward appearance of religious things are like this clay jar. And he took it and he smashed it. And he said, this is what the Lord's about to do with the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. Now quickly, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, it says in Ezekiel chapters 4 and 5, and I won't go and read them right now. He asked Ezekiel to take a clay tablet, okay? Because they were not using paper at that time. They would take some clay because clay was very, very easy. It was usable, okay? And they would take a slate, a wooden slate, and they'd lay some moist clay on there, and you could write in Hebrew. You could do different pictures and things like that. So he told the prophet Ezekiel to take one of these clay tablets and then to make a model of the city of Jerusalem. He said, build the towers, put the wall around it, now build ramparts and everything, okay? And he said, now take that and set it before the priests, okay? And then lay down beside of it on your left-hand side for 390 days. And he also, he told them about these different grains to put together to make bread with it, okay? And he ate this bread and he drank the water and he talked about the siege that was going to be against Israel during the Babylonian, prior to the Babylonian captivity, okay? And so it goes on that Yeshua uses these different illustrations from the scripture. And these were the things that were playing in the minds of his Talmudim. Because you know what? They did not have Facebook. They did not have the internet. They did not have TV. And they didn't have all these books to read. So what were they familiar with? But the Torah. The Word of God. So continuing here. Even out of season a fig tree in leaf, it must have been a leaf to be seen in the distance. And holds forth a promise of fruit. See, because when people would come to Jerusalem, what would they see? They would see the Temple Mount up there, right? And they would see the glory of God being revealed, okay? From a distance, you would see this. And then you'd come there, you'd go there into the courts of the temple. But if you're from the other nations, you were not even allowed to enter therein. So what Satan had done is that he had shut down the door for a lot of God fears from the other nations to come to know Messiah. But if you closely read the Brit Hadashah, you'll see times where there were God-fearers that came to know Messiah. The centurion, and I won't go into great detail because I promise to be brief, okay? In the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, Shri HaShirim, it says this in verse, the figs are forming their unripe figs, and the grapevines in bloom give out their perfume. Get up, my love, my beauty, and come away. Now that is a call to God, from Yeshua, to his bride, who is the bride of Messiah, both male and female, Jew and Gentile. Okay? So continuing here very, very quickly. Yohanan 15, 1 through 8. And this is a portion I will end on today. It says this, I am. Who is the I am here? Yeshua. I am the real vine, and Abba, Father God, is the gardener. Every branch which is part of me but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. Who cuts off? The Father does. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Who prunes? Abba, Father God. So that it may bear what? More fruits. Right now, because of the word which I've spoken to you, you are pruned. Have you not found that when you read Scripture? It prunes you. Stay united with me and I with you. For just as a branch cannot put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, the root, which is Messiah, you cannot bear fruit apart from me. The seed of Abraham cannot sustain and grow without it being what? Recognizing the root, who is Messiah. Whose kingdom is this? Abba, Father, God. Messiah, Yeshua, and the Spirit of living God. So continuing here, we cannot do anything apart from him. Unless a person remains united with me, this is Yeshua, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire where they are burned up. If you remain united with me, who is Yeshua, and my words with you, then ask whatever you want and it will happen for you. This is how Abba, Father God, is glorified in your bearing much fruit. This is how you will prove to be his disciples, his Talmudim. So you know what we should ask ourselves this today? Spirit of the living God, come and search me. the branches that are dead and not bringing life and not producing fruits, Abba, Father God, I give you permission to come and to remove them from my fig tree, that I may produce fruits of righteousness that will bring others into the kingdom through Yeshua. Therefore, the drying up the fig tree is acted out as a warning in keeping with Mishli, which is Proverbs 27:18. Whoever tends the fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who is attentive to his master will be honored in all these things. And so Yeshua said this in the very end of Matthew 24:32. Now let the fig tree teach you its lesson. When its branches begin to sprout and the leaves appear, you know that summer is approaching, is it not? So remember this. In and ourselves, we cannot bear any fruit. Because who is the gardener over our lives? As Heidi shared earlier, with trials and tribulations that come our way, they're ordained by God so that we may grow and mature in all these things. And the fig tree represents the Jewish people. And Father, we pray right now for the Jewish people throughout the whole earth that they would come to know Messiah, that every form of Judaism that they're following right now that does not have Messiah as its root would be revealed to their eyes as death. Father, we pray that you'd stir within their heart, soul, and mind to know the God of their father, Abraham. And that the same seed of faith that was placed in his heart, soul, and mind that produced fruits for us to be even alive today. We want to have the same spiritual relationship that our father Abraham did, where God called him his friend. We pray that not only for all the Jewish people throughout this whole earth, but also for all the God fears that you're calling out from the nations, Almighty God, that they be firmly grafted in to the olive tree, which is rooted in Messiah, that bears fruit, everlasting eternal fruit, and that the leaves of that tree bring healing to the nations. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.